So, hello, it's Matthias from Microsoft DX Norway here, and I have Michael Hausenblas from Mesosphere with me. Is that the correct pronunciation?
That's perfect. Yes. Hey, thanks for having me.
Awesome. Hey, how's it going? So,
Good.
Michael, what are you gonna show us today?
So I've prepared a little demo that is essentially stream data processing and in the domain of financial transactions. And yeah, there's that blog post put together showing you how it is set up. So it is essentially using DCOS as the runtime environment. There is Apache Kafka there as the message queue where all the data is streamed in, and these three boxes here in the middle, these are essentially three Go programs that they're stateless. They're just generating data, random data, and then two consumers that on the one hand played out via InfluxDB, a time series database, and Grafana, so nice visualizations, and then another consumer that pulls data from Kafka. And that tries to detect shady transactions like money laundering.
Right. So those three components there, you've written by yourself?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, got it, got it. And all the source code is on GitHub,
That's
on the
right.
link
So
up there.
everything is here. So you can go here and have a look at all the, for example, here's the generator, right? It's just a few lines of Go code, right? It's not, I think, too fancy.
All right, awesome. So can you just mention a few words about Apache Kafka for people who haven't been in touch with that?
Right. So people might be familiar with things like CRMQ, RabbitMQ, or whatever. All of these queues typically keep their data in memory. Kafka, however, is a distributed pub/sub messaging system that keeps the data on your disk, which means if you switch it off, if you switch off the power, the data is still around, right? You're not losing anything. It's not in memory.
Right.
It's blazingly fast. A broker can easily do 100,000 transactions per second, a single broker. But it really the main feature is it's distributed. You might have a couple of brokers in your cluster, and it's the messages are retained, I think, per default, a couple of days or whatever. So it's you never need to worry about. You just need to think about how long do you need to retain the data, but you don't need to worry about what if a message gets dropped. It is from an operational point of view, it is a bit more tricky, right, to set up Kafka, but in this context of DCOS, it's very straightforward. It's essentially a single command to install
Okay.
Kafka and
Oh, all right.
state it at new brokers. So.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So,
maybe let's jump right into that, into the
yeah,
demo.
please get started. Yeah.
Cool. So what I've prepared here, this is, as you know, the Azure portal. I have prepared a DCOS cluster in advance. If you want to follow along, if you want to do it yourself, you would just go here and search for DCOS. So you can say DCOS here, and you get a number of options. You can either use ACS that is maintained by Microsoft or our marketplace offering, more or less the same. But at the end
It
of the
works
day,
on
you can
both.
use.
There is no like breaking difference between them.
Not as far as I know, it's pretty much the same. So both
Got
are
it.
currently, as I see here, are on 1.84. I've tested the demo for 1.8. So if you have any older version like 1.7, that no guarantee that it works there. So
Yeah.
1.8,
Of
you would
course.
create a cluster. You would it might, but I haven't tested it with 1.7. You want to select at least two agents. So two is the minimum. I've selected four for this setup just to have a bit, spare resources. But two is the minimum. Two private agents,
Right.
and you get one master and one public agent, quote unquote, for free. You provide your SSH key. I'm not going to do that now because then people have my public key. The default is off. You can enable it here. I've kept just to keep things simple to off. Otherwise, you would need to authenticate using one of the auth two providers, OpenID Connect providers. And then you create a new resource group. Always create a new resource group here. It's easier than to remove it again, right? And then
Yeah,
the
obviously.
location typically is
Exactly.
somewhere close. And then there are support settings where you can provide some contact details. And then you say, okay. And then it takes some 10 minutes roughly until the cluster is up.
Right, but this is very straightforward. Nothing.
Yeah, it's just essentially all you need to do is how many agents, how many private agents, and your SSH key. That's it.
Right.
And the region. And then once you've done that, waited for 10 minutes, you get essentially what you see here, right? That's what it is. It is a bunch, this resource group, it's a bunch of resources. It's, you know, virtual machines, it's load balancers, it's storage accounts, whatnot. So that is, you know, under the hood, this is the DCOS cluster, right? Mm-hmm. And now let's, you know, view that from the other side, if you wish. For that, I first need to execute this command here. What this does, because Azure is a very secure environment, so it's essentially locked down everything. So in order to get to the DCOS UI, I actually need to do an SSH tunnel.
Right.
So I'm tunneling the admin router, the component that it's an Nginx reverse proxy that serves the DCOS dashboard locally to my my local host port 8000. And once I have that set up, so I'm having SSH. Now, as you can see, I'm on the DCOS master. Yeah. But more importantly, I can now, if I reload that, I have now the DCOS dashboard here. So you see what we've seen early on in the Azure portal, you see now in the DCOS UI, you see these four private agents. This is the public agent. I know that because it has a different IP range subnet assigned. And there's nothing there, nothing running yet, right? I could manually do something here, but I've set up the demo in a way that it's essentially a single command.
Okay.
So overall, we have 10 CPU shares, 29 gigs of RAM. So this is cluster-wide, right? So cluster-wide in these four machines, or five machines, including the public agent. I have 10 CPU shares, 29 gigs of RAM, and so far nothing in the disk
running. Yeah.
And that's essentially it. So the system components here, that's essentially the glue that makes up DCOS. So all these things are processes that run on different machines. Some of them run on all machines, some of them only on certain roles, or certain like agents or masters. And that's it. So that's essentially an empty DCOS cluster. That's all we have so far.
Yeah.
So following this setup, you could now essentially go for a manual install, but that takes a bit longer. So I'm going to do the simple thing. That's executing one script here. I'm going to do that here. So for the first thing that I need to do is I need to actually clone this repository so that I have all the all the files locally. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to clone it in there. Just takes a few seconds here. And then I'm going to go into demos 1.8 FinTrans. And then I'm here, right? So I've got everything here that I need.
Yep.
Let's maybe enlarge that here. And now let's execute this install. Install all, right? So that sets up everything you've seen early on here, right? It sets up Kafka, it sets up InfluxDB, it sets up Grafana, and it sets up these three Go programs, these three stateless consumers and one generator.
All right.
So let's run that through. It takes roughly 3 minutes. I'm waiting after Kafka is installed. I'm waiting for 2 minutes. Reason being that Kafka sets up the scheduler and the broker takes a bit to kind of stabilize, to do its thing, to make sure everything. And now you see, we actually have to wait in real time for 2 minutes. So now we can talk about something else if you want.
Yeah, exactly. Got it.
Can see that here now you've seen, right? Everything is being set up here. I reckon that Marathon would be first, and Influx and Grafana. They're not connected yet, right? I still need to do one last step when everything is up and running. I need to connect Grafana with InfluxDB. I haven't automated that part, so I essentially need to tell Grafana where InfluxDB is.
Speaking of, can you just elaborate a bit on Grafana and InfluxDB?
Sure. So InfluxDB is a time series database.
Okay.
The way I've set it up here is that it's essentially good to scale vertically, if you wish. So it's not in a distributed mode. It can be used in a distributed mode. It uses Raft algorithm to essentially, you know, shard the data and synchronize different parts. And the way I've set it up, I'm just using it on a single node. So there's nothing. It won't. You know, like unlike Kairos DB or OpenTSDB, it won't do billions of data points. But in the way I've set it up here, it's essentially for the most recent transaction. I think retention is an hour or whatever. So keeping data points, time series data points for 1 hour, and that's, you know, you have enough disk for that on a single VM. So InfluxDB gives you a nice interface. It has a SQL-like, if you wish, time extended query language, so it can do very nice things like, you know, give me all events in this time series that match this and this, or tagged with this and this, and you can do fan outs and very, very fancy things. So this is really as a kind of buffer between Kafka and Grafana. And also to nicely create a dashboard. And Grafana is essentially a dashboard. Grafana is a Kibana fork, or. So now you see FinTrends. Now the 2 minutes must be up. Yeah, there you go. We missed it. So that's it. Now everything is running. And everything, I only need to connect Grafana to InfluxDB. So Grafana comes, it's actually from Sweden. It's a Nordic thing. So some guy there, Turkle, I can't remember his name anymore. He took the Kibana, you know, that from Elkstack, the Kibana code base, and essentially ripped out all the other stuff and focused on the graph. And that's Grafana. Hugely popular. Now has a website, grafana.net, where you can exchange all these dashboards and so on. It's really awesome. Okay, so that's it. Everything is running. So the only thing that I now need to do, following this single command here, is actually connecting Grafana, right? So the Grafana setup, I need essentially just this one URL here. So I'm gonna go. Grafana is using Marathon LB, which is essentially HA proxy supervised, essentially listening to all these different things and forwarding it to the respective port, and Grafana is configured to serve on the service port 13,000, right? So this is the public agent, and actually you can go there, right? You can totally go to that URL, and if I've set up everything correct, you should get to Grafana at any point anytime soon, I hope. If not, then I need to go back to the Azure setup and see if I've opened up that port.
Let's see, yeah, there's the right, always
if I have the right agent, that's the first thing I would need to check. So that's actually a good thing, because then I can show you a bit how that works here. So I've taken this agent FQDN. That should be it. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. And now port 13,000. No, that doesn't look like that works. Okay. Grafana is running, everything is fine, so I must have made some mistake here in the setup. So the reason why, per default, the Marathon LB, the public agent, is actually open to the world, every port, everything. However, within Azure, I also need to make sure that the public agent, this load balancer here, actually has the port open, right? Oh, so I need to put an inbound security role here. Didn't I do that? No, I didn't do that. Okay. So I punched that in, but I didn't do that. Okay. Let's say all open. So I did the other things, but I forgot this one. It's a good thing. I'm just going to open up all ports for now. I trust that you don't don't do anything crazy. So takes a bit until until that works. But just to show you, I did the other part already, but I forgot this part in the preparation. Sorry for that. So if you look at the load balancer here, I've set up the health probe. You see Grafana probe on port 13,000, and I've added the load balancing rule as well, Grafana here. But I forgot to add this.
So those load balancing rules, are they necessary to be able to run it as well?
Yes. If you don't do these two things, if you don't punch that pole into, if you don't have it defined in the load balancer and here in the network security group, then you will not, as you see right now. So if I now go here and refresh that, then we should actually get to Grafana, I hope. Look, now it comes, yeah. So these two things are necessary. You need to do that. It is actually nicely described here. So there's a very nice article here. Colleague put that together. So it's you know, there is no magic. It's just you need to carry out these steps, right? It's a security feature. I find that great. It's described here very well. And I just forgot to do the second part.
Okay.
But it's actually a good thing. It almost looks like this is staged, right? Yeah. We didn't stage it. It was a coincidence. All right. Anyways, so we log in here, admin, Grafana. I don't really care about that password here. I'm going to add, remember, we need to connect it to Influx, right? So we need to tell Grafana where to get the data from. So we're going to say, we call that Influx and make it the default. We're going to select Influx. As you can see, you can hook up Grafana to other things as well. You can hook it up to Elasticsearch, to OpenTSDB, Prometheus, and so on. But we're going to use our Influx that we have here. And here I'm going to actually enter this fully qualified domain name that comes from a DCS system component called Minuteman.
How do you get that URL? Where
that's
do you
it's you know, because it's InfluxDB, like here, right? So this is InfluxDB. It's running in the system marathon. So the canonical name would be InfluxDB.marathon L4LB. That's, as I said, the level 4 load balancer code or code name Minuteman. This DCS directory, I believe that's even configurable. But up to here, it's essentially, this is a given. And then that's the framework here, and that's the respective service.
Okay.
Okay, so just using the default thing, obviously that's not production ready. You would create a separate user here, and the database is FinTrans. If, let's double check. That's fine. So now, now, if I say add, it should actually say, no, I don't want to save the password, data source edit. So Grafana can now talk to Influx, right? That's great. And now the only thing we need to do is, I could now define my own dashboard here, but I'm lazy. I'm just using the prepared dashboard here. So I've already done that previously. It's everything part of the repo, right? It's everything in the GitHub repo. And now as soon as I've that, you actually see the data coming in there. So we have essentially a generator, a stateless generator that randomly says, you know, here from this account in this city, transfer, I don't know, $1,000 to this other account.
Yeah.
And the dashboard I prepared here is essentially, you know, it refreshes every 5 seconds, showing the last 15 minutes. You can play around with that. You can look only at the last 5 minutes or whatever. You can zoom in here, whatever, right? This is the nice thing about Grafana. It's very, very flexible. So this is one consumer. Remember, that's one of the two consumers we had here, right? That's the first consumer here. So the generator pumps in data into Kafka. You can actually have a look at that if you want, right? If you
please
go into that group. The generator here, that is now, we're looking at the logs of the generator, and actually you see how it pumps these messages, these random messages into Kafka, right? So here you see Moscow, and here's the actual encoding. So that means transfer, I think it was first the two, from two, and then the amount. So transfer from account number 196 to 275, $1,596.
Got it.
Okay, so back here, so we've done that path. So that is set up. We've done that path. We only had to do this thing here manually, right? This connection between Influx and Grafana. Yep. And now we're looking at this second consumer, which is the laundering detector. And that's a very simple, again, another Go program, a very simple thing that just looks at the aggregate amount. So if the aggregate amount is above a certain threshold, in this case, the default is $8,000, you could say maybe there is some money laundering going on because, you know, there's this practice. I've been told, I don't know, but that if you have, I don't know, you want to transfer $1 million and you're not allowed to transfer more than 10,000. So you chop it up in, you know, a couple of smaller amounts and then, you know, but you're still using the same accounts. And then that's something, you know, out of 100,000 of transactions, it boils it down to whatever, 100 or whatever. And that then would be reviewed by a human being and actually, you know, validated or verified if that is actually a legal transaction or some money laundering going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so we can, you know, as I said, all these the generator and consumers here are stateless, right? So I could totally, for example, rather than having one, I could say I'm now, I don't know, I have 10, right? I'm producing 10 times as many, right?
How and would that look in the dashboard?
There's no difference in the sense of there's just more data, right? Yeah. It's not. It doesn't change anything in terms of the quality or whatever. It's just that more data is what will happen is that Kafka will faster. So you see there, right? We scaled it up. Kafka will faster fill up. That's all that happens here, really.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's the overall utilization. As you can see, 7 out of 10 shares, 70% CPU, and some 20% memory allocation cluster. We've so far used 1 gigabyte out of 232, so that's not much, right? But if we leave that running for, you know, a day or two, we might use a bit more.
Yeah.
So that's really it. I mean, that's, as you can see, in the one or single command install, it's as easy as that. You just, you know, execute that one command once you have the DCOS cluster up and running, then you can play around with that.
Yeah. Awesome.
Cool. Any other questions? Anything else you?
Oh, no, from my part now. Unless you want to go a bit into the code, just. Maybe
sure, absolutely.
Yeah, just quick explain the different, right, different services.
Right. So as I said, these three services that I've written in Go, you could, for example, in another setup, you could, for example, write that in C sharp or in Python or in whatever. Go, because it's a binary, everything is there. I didn't bother putting it into a Docker container, but for something else, I could, right? I could deploy a service here in the same way that here you have the service definitions for these three services. So the generator, if you look at that, what it does is literally it pulls this binary that I've uploaded here on GitHub in a release. It pulls it locally, makes it executable, and then runs it, right? And that's it, right? And all that install really does is it looks at the runtime or at the deploy time, it looks up the broker and replaces that here with the broker, with the actual broker ID. So if we look at the running generator here, we will see that it will have the broker actually, you can see that here, the actual, what a broker is. And again, very similar naming scheme. In this here, I'm using Mesos DNS, so it has Mesos Kafka, which is the Kafka scheduler, broker zero, because I only have one broker. That's the part how I set it up, right? So I've set up Kafka here, that it only has one broker. If we look at that, see, I have only one broker here. You could say two or three. I could also live or online add brokers here as I need them, and that's it. That's really all there is. And going back to the code. So essentially, I don't know if people know about Go, but if you have a background in C++, Java, Pascal, whatever, you probably can read that pretty in a straightforward manner. It doesn't do really a lot to generate it. Essentially just, as I said, source account, target account, amount, everything random, and then pumps it with that into Kafka. That's it.
Okay.
That's really it. That's all. Oh. That's all that this generator does. And then the consumers, the influx ingest is a bit more elaborate because it actually has to read out stuff from Kafka and then ingest into InfluxDB. So I need to talk to both Kafka and InfluxDB. What it does essentially is, if we look at the main thing here, it has so-called Go routines. That's a bit like, you know, concurrent routines that may or may not be executed in parallel. And then for each of the cities here, I essentially have one, I mean, in the simplest case, think about that like five threads, right? Because I have five cities, London, San Francisco, and Moscow, and Tokyo, and what did that is? New York, I believe. So each of them would be in a dedicated Kafka topic. Like, think of it like one stream in Kafka, right? So you organize, you publish and consume from topics in Kafka. So one, each of those topics, which represents one city, would have a dedicated Go routine here. And then I have an additional Go routine for ingesting. So what it essentially does here, I have five consume Go routines and one ingest Go routine. And what it does, if we look at consume, it essentially pulls one after the other of the messages, and each of the messages is essentially, if you remember, source, target, and amount, and puts that into a queue. So this is what Go does here is essentially, if you might know these, how they called CSPs, concurrent communicating something
CSP. Okay, no, that's new to me.
CSP Go. There's a wonderful language Go inherited from, but I cannot fully. Communicating sequential processes. That's it.
Okay.
So that's where it is. So essentially, you put that on an internal queue with this here, and with that, rather than having shared memory, right? I communicate via these pipes, if you wish, between these different processes.
Okay.
So I'm reading something, or in this consume Go routine, I'm reading something from Kafka, put it on that queue, and then in the ingest, I essentially take one, right? So that's the coordination between these different things. I take one because I want to make sure that at any point in time, only one thread or one Go routine is actually putting something into InfluxDB. So right. Reading something out here, then actually putting it with this into InfluxDB.
Okay.
And the very same principle is actually done in the laundering detector. The only difference here is that I don't ingest it anywhere. I just calculate if it's the same setup. There are five Go routines for each city, one and so on. And the only difference here is that in the part where early on it was ingest, it's now detect, and it's just looking at the overall, essentially a static matrix here. That looks if the overall source target amount is over a certain threshold, which is configurable through a environment variable. So if we look from bottom up, right, so the environment variable comes in here, this environment variable threshold here, which is at init time taken here, right? So the default is 10,000. And if there is an environment variable, you can override that default. And that is actually done here in the service itself, where we have the laundering detector, and where you see I'm overwriting that environment variable with 8,000.
Ah, right.
But I can change that at any point in time, right? I can only go here and say, you know, change that environment variable from 8,000 to, I don't know, 2,000. So I should get more alerts, right? So what it does now, as you see, it does a rolling upgrade. I haven't specified any health checking or whatever. So it's a very simple one. It's not production ready in in that sense, because it doesn't do any health checking. You see that, you know, now a new one is running that is configured with 2000.
Yes.
Now, if we look at it, we should see many more. Did I look at the old one? Sorry, which one was that? I was a bit too fast. So running, I only want to look at the active here. Okay, event, okay. Okay. Now, what did I do? Okay. I might have fudged something up here. Not entirely sure what I changed. Anyways, that is the way how it is supposed to work. And yeah, anything else that I can show you here or that you're interested in?
Yeah, do you just want to show the DCOS dashboard a little bit more in detail? Just walk through the...
Sure. So the overall dashboard, that just gives you an idea of how the cluster is doing with all the, you know, services and so on, or overview of the services. So we see we have in overall 17 Mesos tasks running.
Right.
Services, everything that is long running, no matter if it's stateless or stateful or whatever, everything that is long running, you can install many, many things from the universe. Here are the selected packages, and here you have many, many community provided packages that you can install, mm-hmm. all with a single click or a single command line, like through the CLI you would say DCOS package install, and then whatever you have here, right? Actually, your colleagues recently contributed something here. You might look familiar, right? Yeah. So you can install quite a lot of things here. And so that's the universe. It's kind of like an app store, if you want.
Yeah, and that's where you pull. That's where you pull Grafana from as well.
Exactly. Grafana and InfluxDB are both
right. Yeah, right.
And so you can look how your nodes are utilized by service or whatever, and that's maybe interesting to see if we look here. Let's say here we have a bit things going on, right? Let's remember this one, 10.32.07.
Yeah.
What happens if we actually kill this fellow here? If we find it, I'm not entirely sure if I can find that as quickly as I like, but maybe if I search for that. If I search for this IP 10.32.07, do you think that would work? 10.7. I have no idea. I've never tried that, but that's the fun part. If we can actually find something here. Any idea how I could find? I'll just kill a random private agent. Doesn't really matter. I just want to show what happens if we just, you know, we simulate a VM failure, right? We just kill.
You're just going to kill it, yeah, here. Exactly. Okay.
And agent private, this private group. Now the question is, how do I actually get here? Okay, then let's just kill a random one. As I said, I haven't prepared that, so I don't really know what I'm doing here. I just take a random here. What can I not go in here? Okay, I thought I can just change that. I thought I can kill a random one here. Instances, maybe that's the better way. Yes, okay. So, do I see? No, I don't really see. Okay, then I kill a random one, it doesn't matter. So, I delete that one, right? Yes, I just throw it. So, this, you know, simulates some machine in a somewhere goes down, right? Something happens.
Yes.
What we would expect at some point in time to see here is that, DCOS notices that, and actually, depending on the tasks, it might take a bit longer moves off this task. I mean, that was, of course, that was not nice, right? We just literally killed it without any warning. We didn't drain anything or whatever. You see, ECS figured, oh, that one is gone. And it will move the tasks that have been running on that machine to other machines, to other VMs in the cluster. Obviously, they will be a bit busier now, but hopefully after some time, it will just, like, the user wouldn't notice anything, right? It will just be busier overall, and after some time, you see everything is running and still running, and
nice.
That is the power of DCOS.
Cool.
Yeah, cool. All right.
Awesome. Yeah. So if people have, like, any questions of how to get started, how would one get started with this? You have the repo here.
Yes, yes. So maybe the best starting point is to go to DCOSO. Obviously, you want to install it in your favorite cloud, which means you go to Azure here. As I said, this, if you go here, you would use, it's both are ARM, so Azure Resource Manager template based, both our marketplace offering as well as the Microsoft ACS offering.
Right.
And then you just go through that, as I've shown you, click through that, say, you know, how many instances you want, blah, blah, blah. We went through that early on. Wait 10 minutes, and then you have your DCOS cluster set up.
Yeah.
And then essentially you started that blog post here, walk you through, and then go to jump to that repo, and, you know, either do a manual install where you would install Kafka and InfluxDB and Grafana one by one, or just say, do the same thing that I just did with the single command install.
Right. That is enough to find. Great. So anything else you want to share about DCOS in general? Anything to know starting out?
I think it's best tried out and then played around in a cloud environment, because that's where the power. I mean, it is a distributed system. You can use things like Vagrant here, but, you know, need quite a lot of you know, if your laptop has more than 16 gigs, then you know, you're good. Not many laptops have that. And
no.
So that's why I said typically you want to do it in the cloud. And that's all really from my end.
Cool.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Michael. So
thank you.